John, can you give me a line check?
Yeah. What? Testing one. One.
Aaron.
One.
Two.
Two.
Ben.
Bring it on.
Sweet. All right.
Sweet.
Hey, you're listening to My Millennial Money. The podcast for people who talk on the quiet carriage.
I actually saw someone yell at someone about that yesterday.
Really? What happened?
She yelled, they stopped talking.
So rude to do that, isn't
so
it?
So rude. Mm. What, to talk or to yell?
No, to talk when it's a silent carriage.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I probably wouldn't like go and yell at someone about it.
That's bullish.
Yeah, it's weird. Mm. But today
anyway,
we've got...
sorry.
No, that's all right. Hey, Ben, how you doing?
Hey.
We've got Ben Gleason from Glee Coffee Roasters, and we've asked Ben on to share with us and with you guys how to turn your passion into a legitimate business or main source of income, I guess. So over to you, Ben.
A passion into cashin, as you put it.
Earlier. I wasn't actually going to say that because it sounds really crude. But before we get started...
That's trademarked now, isn't it?
Yeah, passion into cashin. Yeah.
TM.
Yeah, I'll take right. that. So TM. What have we... So Ben's actually... And we'll put a photo up somehow of Ben... pouring. Can you explain what coffee you've brought along with you today?
Yeah. Yep. So I brought along an Ethiopian Sodamo, which is one of my favorites. It's a dry processed coffee, which really, I won't go into the details of it, but essentially what you taste is a lot more of the fruity, juicier flavors of the coffee. So this one should taste sort of like, you know, some dark berries, real jammy, maybe a little bit of like milk chocolate on the end. Ooh. So,
shouldn't need milk.
But we'll see.
So before we get into that, I've got a problem with Aaron.
Okay.
So Aaron has recently converted to long blacks.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So, and we might talk about the journey into coffee with individuals out there. But everyone knows that we've been giving away a million tote bags to everybody. And I got a message from Erin the other day.
A photo?
No.
I didn't send you a photo.
No. She's like, oh, can you wash the tote bags? I'm like, oh, here we go. What's happened now?
So I just get a photo back of the label inside.
Yeah, yes.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's right. And so she spilt her long black all over the new tote bag.
Totally fine. That's the dad joke. We'll just get the first one out of the way.
Very good.
So let's pour. Do you want to give me your...
Yes, please.
We're just going to quickly pour for John. Ooh, and quickly as in quickly. There we go. So, John, tell us your experiences with coffee. What do you usually order when you...
Yeah, look, I'm very keen on adding milk to mine, so this will be a big test for me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, whether it's a flat white or a latte or even a cappuccino occasionally.
Thank you.
Little top up.
Doesn't everyone start that way, Bo?
I think so. And I used to have the standard two sugars as well.
Same.
Way back in the day.
Started with the old cappuccino two sugars.
Yeah, yeah.
Moved to a mocha.
Weaned off one sugar and then and then sat on one sugar for a couple of years and now I'm...
So you're a milk boy.
I started on a flat white with one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like right. Long way back now, 15 years ago, but we all start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Some of us don't start at all.
And, well,
I just don't understand those people. Yeah.
John's
Ames
wife
is
not a coffee drinker.
My sister's not a coffee drinker.
How did she get through life?
Thankfully, otherwise she'd go broke, or we would
imagine
go broke.
Imagine you two.
Yeah.
So how's it taste, John?
It's actually nice.
Actually nice. Actually nice. As if it was Aaron,
I tried my best to make it.
That's really good.
In a way that is really approachable.
Yeah.
So what would you have done different if it wasn't approachable?
Probably make it a little bit stronger. Like,
okay.
So
more
so that
bitter
one, I'd try to steer away from the bitterness. So you could probably say bitterness in it with the strength, but just a little bit more intense. So that one, while it's not like in the tea world just yet, it's definitely a little bit lighter.
Yeah,
than what I would.
Yeah, it's really good.
So there you go.
Yeah,
John, get you over to the black coffees?
And you saw me making it. It's the easiest thing in the world to make at home. So yes. I know a lot of people are doing that. And especially like when you're looking at trying to get off milk, you know, there's so many milk alternatives. Yeah, almonds, yeah.
Just on that, I just want you to have a listen to this. Okay, so picture this. The other day, as you know, I've got friends who own a coffee roaster and I go up there and hang out, do some work up there.
They do have good coffee though.
They do.
Glee.
Glee.
I don't think we were naming them.
We weren't naming them. Have you heard this?
Glee,
Glee Coffee, they've got coffee. Anyway, so a friend there, Kim, who had recently had a baby, she and who's a barista as well, said, "Oh, hey, Glenn, do you want a coffee?" I'm like, "Yep, sweet." She goes, What do you want? I'm like, "Oh, whatever." She's like, "Breast milk, cow's milk, what do you want?" I'm like, "I'll try anything." Anyway, she made two coffees up. She steamed some of her breast milk.
I'm going to vomit.
This was traumatic enough for me the first time.
It's still funny the second
time. I tasted a breast
milk. Oh, stop.
That is horrific.
So we all tasted a breast milk latte.
And what did it taste like?
It's very sweet.
Oh,
yeah, it almost tasted like...
Do you have any sugars?
Like, no, sweet enough. I mean...
I feel like I could vomit.
So that was from... a couple of episodes ago. Now the question,
yes.
I just wanted to apologize.
Yeah.
We weren't going to name your coffee business Glee Coffee Roasters in the breast milk thing. But secondly, now that we have named you, do you think you'll get breast milk into your stores?
I don't know if that's going to take off, but you never know. I never thought rice milk would take off either. So
it has, isn't it?
Rice milk.
And the broccoli milk.
Yep.
What?
Yep. Yep. Google it. ABC.
Broccoli milk.
Yep. Broccoli milk.
So, but my commentary, my side commentary on that, when I did hear it, because I was listening to it a little bit earlier, and I did find it very amusing. And then I was glad that you disclaimed that wasn't in one of our stores.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. And Kimmy, like, well, you know, she's actually the first person that I employed to work for Glee. So the girl, she's very dear to my heart. But I also found it really interesting that we're repulsed by breast milk, but we're totally fine with squeezing one out of the cow's udder, right?
Makes no sense.
You know, it's like, oh, from the cow, that's fine, but a human,
not going. Well, I mean,
it's really
just a human grain.
I would eat a steak, but I wouldn't eat a human steak.
True.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know. Hey, I've tried anything once. But let's get into this. So I'll start now by positioning, as at today, Glee Coffee Roasters, national brand. You've got a store in Brisbane, Wyong on the Central Coast, Erina on the Central Coast.
Yep.
There's other stores planned.
Yep.
And you've got a big roaster factory thing.
Yeah,
you've got a million people that work for you.
So almost a million.
Almost a million, yeah, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
25.
No. Yeah, something like that.
So that's now.
Yeah.
How did you... Tell us a little bit about your story and then we can jump in and ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Because you started in corporate, basically, commuting in the city.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so coming from a family where... my parents, I guess, growing up on the coast, they were sort of looking for us children. So I've got two brothers and a sister.
Yeah.
I've got a few daughters too, but you know, I know my mum really sort of wanted to push stability on us. You know, something like a solid job, something that you can retire.
Yeah.
You know. And so for me, I was sort of, I guess, pushed in that direction, not too hard, but you know, you need a job, you need something serious. If anybody that really knows me knows that I'm a creative by nature and I'm a creative at heart. So the industries that I guess were appealing to me coming out of high school were more of the arts. So I would have loved to get into, film. Like video editing, all that kind of
music
stuff. Yeah, like definitely music.
Because you're a bass player, guitarist.
Yeah. And you know, and have been, you know, my whole life. So growing up doing a lot of creative things. And my brain is not necessarily built for the corporate day day-to-day sort of stuff. So, but it was something that I did, and I worked for Singapore Airlines for about 5.5 years, I think. It all gets a little bit foggy, but essentially just working in their sales team and their promotions side of the business, so their head office. But it was a 9-to-5 corporate job, wearing a tie,
Monday to Friday.
Yeah, and look,
the modern day noose.
Totally is though.
And I could do it, you know, but the commute was quite difficult, and
they didn't have the quiet carriage back then.
No,
and makes such a difference.
Yeah, look, from somebody that hasn't really train traveled for a long time, I look at the quiet carriage and I think, come on, guys, grow up, you know, seriously, like put some headphones on.
For a guy who loves music.
I look at it and go, really? Like, I don't know how that was implemented ever.
How does it stop the crazy person in the general public causing a scene?
No, it doesn't.
It never does, right?
It doesn't.
It never does. But I completely get why it's been implemented, because especially
like it sounds weird in theory, but really, like it's great. Coffee. Thank you. Oh, it's so great.
I'll finish mine first.
The whole mobile phone thing, like where everyone's sort of talking on their phones, it wasn't so much the thing to do when we were commuting.
So you'd had it with corporate, had it with commuting.
Yeah.
And you had a passion that you found.
Yeah, well, the beauty, I guess, of working in the city was I was starting to really see this sort of, I guess, first wave of the coffee industry.
Yeah, because it's massive.
It's the biggest industry in the world.
Yeah, wow.
Just on a side note, but
bigger than porn.
I think so.
Well, no, they maybe. Always say that. Exactly. Yeah.
It probably, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah,
I reckon.
I'd have to look up the stats, but I've been told. So, it's a large. This could be a dad fact.
Sorry. It's a mystery.
Unsolved. So I got to see firsthand a lot of the change, I guess, in just our Australian culture of having coffee at the office out of an instant jar or the communal filter, as opposed to people actually stopping on their way to work and bringing a coffee in. And then that whole thing of let's do coffee, let's go and have coffee, and meetings were sort of, I guess, starting to move from the office out to the cafe.
Yeah.
So I was sort of around and seeing that boom, and being a creative, I loved watching people create things for other people. So I was like, the barista job really was something. Well, there was no term barista back then for a while. It was just starting to come through. But watching people create something that's an enjoyable experience for someone else, and my, I guess my analytical part of my brain as well was going, well, they've all got the same equipment. They're all, like all of these cafes got the same equipment. That, you know, everything looks the same. Why is coffee tasting so different from
across
place
different
to place?
Places? Yeah.
So that kind of got my little inquisitive brain going, and I started doing a bit of research on what it takes to make a good cup of coffee and all the different bits and pieces.
So, had you ever worked as a barista?
Not at that point.
Okay.
No. So
you're on the other side of the fence pretty often, though.
Yeah, I was
drinking a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what really, I guess,
probably a lot of ordinary coffee back
then. A lot of very ordinary coffee. Yeah. Yes. Although I did consider myself a bit of a snob back then, so I would find places where I was like, nah, they know what they're doing.
So if you're a snob back then, what are you now?
I think I'm a reformed snob. Right? I've got a lot more grace for people these days, I think. I think as you age a little bit, you tend to mellow on your extreme views on different things.
Where I'm the opposite. I get more extreme.
It gets worse. It gets older.
You get a bit quirky. Yeah. Those quirks turn into...
Quirky's a really nice way to put it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron. Love you too.
But a cool story was there's a espresso bar right next to where I worked, and I would go there in the mornings and get coffee. And I noticed that the guy didn't have a break. It was a one-man show. So he would run the whole thing, a little hole-in-the-wall espresso bar. And I got to know him a little bit and was like, do you ever get like a break? Do you ever get a lunch break? And he's like, no, this is just me. I'm like, oh, well, would you be interested if I'd come in and do half an hour on my lunch break, just free of charge. If you teach me to do make coffee.
Genius.
Wow, that's amazing.
What a great idea.
Yeah, well, he was like, deal.
Yes, right? Totally.
He's like, done, okay. So, and
he gets a coffee break.
he gets a little break. I get to make coffee for people. And what I found really quickly was that that was the most, that was by far the best part of my day.
Yeah.
Was that half an hour where I was getting to make coffee for people. And I remember having a conversation with my wife, Jem, who works in the business. It was incredible. But, you know, I was saying, oh, I'm not happy. You know, I'm not happy doing what I'm doing. I'm missing out on time with my first child, Adele, and she's like, well, just quit then. I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she's like, well, what do you want to do? Like, what do you like? What do you like? And I said, and this was like, for me, I'm not the most forward person, you know, in conversations. I was like, oh, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I just said it, right? And there's something to be said for sometimes just saying stuff that you're thinking.
Just putting it out there.
Just put it out there.
Yeah, Aaron.
Glenn never does it.
But I was like, I like coffee. And it's like that pause of like, just
what's
waiting, waiting for
be?
The, I can't believe you, like, well, obviously that's not going to work, you know. And her response to me was like, I'll just never forget it. She goes, well, then do that. And it was as simple as that. And I was like, but well, yeah, that's funny, you know. And she's like, no, seriously, like, if that's what you want to do, then figure out a way to do it.
So your wife was your business coach.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And still is.
Yeah. That's great.
So if we can just, I guess for anyone listening, we'll pause the story there for 1 second. So you've got an idea.
Yep.
Like, you don't have to, I don't know, quit your job in the minute and then go and jump off the bridge into the water.
Yeah.
Start researching today your passion.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of spare time that we've got either commuting, at night, start learning about what you're passionate about.
And you can fast track that learning in today's living, can't you? Like 20 years ago, you couldn't do that. You have to go to a library maybe and open a book.
So anyone, and I wanted to really change this podcast from us talking out there to people, and I'm moving my arms, but like, we're in your ear. I personally want to encourage anyone to just take any type of action.
Yeah.
Even if like you've got an idea about a business, get your journal out. This is what I did. I did a brain dump, wrote down as, oh, there's our favorite freaking dog. it just so annoys me. Anyway, get your journal out, do a brain dump, write down as many things as possible that you can do to start your venture.
Yeah,
like, I wrote down 30 things
from
create a business and create a website, and just every week, every day, just start ticking those things off.
Mm. I think people in general, if they're not content with their work, they're running away from what they don't want instead of running towards what they do want.
That's right. Yeah. So you had the idea, you had the royal assent from the wife at the time.
Yep. Oh, she's still my wife. Just clear that up.
At
if you're watching, if you're listening, Jem, that's that's not
there's
insider trading.
Know that you know.
Yeah.
This is
awkward.
I thought it was
So you've got the okay to go.
Yeah.
You're doing some, and that's just brilliant, doing volunteer work in the industry that you love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just controversial. It's counterintuitive to what we think and know.
Yeah.
What next? When did you go to Singapore Airlines? Wheels up, guys, I'm out of here. Or use some weird metaphor to them about the airline industry.
I've got to fly. look, yeah, after that conversation, there was a bit of action that was required. So it wasn't a quit your job tomorrow. It was let's investigate that and see what that would look like. So for me, I jumped online and there was a place that was doing barista training. So I think one of only two schools at the time that was really operating. Yeah.
Can we say it?
Toby's Estate.
So Toby's Estate at Woolloomooloo. And they were kind of one of the first in the city in Australia.
Yeah, man. Like Toby's especially in Sydney and just led the way, really paved the way for a lot of specialty coffee. So incredible human being. Mm. And I'm so glad that I chose to go to that school because that did set the path of eventually working for Toby's, which you know, another putting yourself out there kind of thing, was, yeah, so doing the training. I did 5 levels of barista training because that's what they were offering.
Wow.
So I went, all right, I'm committed. And that was after work. So I'd stay in the city and some nights and do the training and then go to work the next day. So there's a little bit of sacrifice involved in it. But, it, you know, you're following your passion and it's exciting.
And that's funny. Like, everyone sees Glee Coffee, the big warehouse, the big, you know, yeah, cafes. He's an overnight success. Yeah, over 15 years of putting the grind on.
Yeah,
it's true.
I think it just tells us again, time and time again, that we've just got to take action, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, we can educate ourselves and whatever we want. Sitting in the lounge room, not doing anything about it, is not going to get us anywhere.
It doesn't help. Mm. No, I mean, it's great to dream, but you've got to put some action behind it. All right.
And then you started working for Toby's as their national trainer.
Yeah, yeah. So eventually, so I did the training, ran through the training program, and when I completed it, I completed it at a higher level than anyone that had previously done the training. So the guys there were kind of like, look, what are you doing? You're working for the airline. Do you want to get into the industry? Because you're pretty good at it, you know? And I was like, yes, I do.
Have you got a job?
I do, you know. And they're like, would you be interested in working for us? And I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. So they said, we can't make any promises, but in a couple of months' time, there'll be a job opening up and we want you to apply for it. So that's sort of where that landed. And I jumped the gun a little bit, to be honest. When I got that sort of news, I did resign.
Yep.
And then I did have a few months where it was a little bit shaky. I'm like, oh, I'll just get work, you know. Like, it can't be that difficult. I'll pick up a job in retail. You know, retail in Central Coast is like, it's like winning the lottery.
How's this? I was at Westfield the other day, like during the day, like 2:30 p.m. No offense to anyone who does retail, because it's a skill that I don't have. But I mean, like, is there anything more depressing than a shopping centre on a weekday during the day?
I know. It just amazes me how many people are in there.
Yeah.
At 2:30 on a weekday.
Yeah. Hello.
Well, I was there too. But like,
It is surprising, isn't it?
It like, is.
You guys have jobs. So fast forward, you land the job at Toby's.
Yep.
At Woolloomooloo.
Woolloomooloo.
Behind the machine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, tell us the story when Russell Crowe used to come in.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember the story, kind of. There's probably a few.
There's a few Russell stories, and there's a few Australian celebrities that we used to make coffee for down there, because it was just, you know, the
perfect
kid Ben's liver in the corner.
And it's funny, because at the time, Ben would finish work, and I was studying financial planning in the city.
Yes.
And often we would commute back together.
Yes.
I would drive down. So we're both putting in the grind in our careers early. And look where we are now.
It's true. I still remember our conversations before, like, we were doing any of this kind of stuff. And just bouncing ideas off each other.
And then, like, you had, like, concert promoters that would give you free... And we went to so many free concerts.
Seriously,
that,
man.
Like,
wow.
Yes.
And, like, did we go to Fitty
Center? Yeah, we did. We did, like... We did, because we would just get given free tickets. So I became good friends with a guy that was bringing all the acts into the country at the time, and then he's an absolute legend. But he would come down on the day of and just be like, Ben, how many tickets do you need? You know, like, are you interested in the Foo Fighters? And they're like, yeah, I'm interested in seeing the Foo Fighters. He's like, all right, how many tickets do you need? And I'd be like, I don't know, 6. He's like, is that it? Like, do you need more? And I'm like, oh, I don't know, 2. So, because it'd just be pretty much just me and Glenn.
So tell me, Ben. So I go into a pub and I get a Carlton draft, and I know what it tastes like. And every time, no matter where it is in Australia, it tastes the same, or should.
Yeah.
I go into the same cafe, same time of day.
Yep.
Same coffee.
Yep.
Might taste different.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I probably can't answer that directly. There's no one answer to that, because there are so many moving pieces in coffee.
What would be your top 3 most important?
I would say, like, your barista is definitely still a huge factor in your cup of coffee. And you know, the industry is actually moving away from that. There's a lot more automation that's happening in the coffee process, even on the barista side. But
Like, but it can be like humidity, grind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the temperature, just whether it was extracted, you know, correctly. So you might have had a 30-second extraction, and, you know, the day before you might have had a 35-second extraction. Same coffee, same barista, same equipment, different result.
Mm.
You
know? I mean, if the barista's in a bad mood and...
Well, I'm not...
Totally. Gonna,
you know, there's no science to this, but they're... But, you know, it is an art and it is an expression. And I think, you know, you're in the service industry, and when somebody is happy to serve you, there's something.
No, I totally agree. We stopped going to a cafe for that exact reason. Really? She was just grumpy. So sour grumpy and just hated her life.
I don't like my
and it
coffee
actually
bitter,
was reflected like in her coffee.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bitter coffee.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's no science behind that.
No,
but, you know,
there's
but
not,
yes,
but it definitely is a thing.
And yes. Okay, so just... For the people listening, I remember you telling me when you served Russell Crowe, because he lived just down the road, like he would often want sugar in his coffee.
Yeah, he was a flat white with one. Yeah. Actually, he was a cap with one.
And you were like, he's like, oh, one sugar, mate. And Ben's like, yeah, they're over there.
You're like, I'm not doing your job for you.
And it was like that. So at the place that we were working, which was Toby's at Woolloomooloo, which was the cafe and roastery back then. So before it was, it's a huge global brand now. There was a whole bunch of us there, and it was very much a snobby cafe. It was a friendly cafe, but it was a snobby cafe. It was like, we don't serve the sugar. You know, we didn't have syrups. But yeah, Russell would come in and he would always ask for one.
And how did that go down?
You know what? It's really funny because you got Russell Crowe, you know, this tough guy.
And he probably almost just come off the highlight of Gladiator.
Oh, man.
Is he really tough or he just acted?
No, he just acted. He was actually got a great sense of humor. And and he would say, I remember him saying that one time when he really wanted me to put the sugar in. I just used to say, Russell, you know where it's at. You know, the sugars are there, man. If you want to wreck your coffee, you go ahead, right? Yeah. But I'm not doing it for you.
Rusty.
And I bended once for him, and it was that time when he just looked at me with these big Russell Crowe puppy dog eyes, and he went, but it just tastes so much better when you put it in there. And I was like, all right. You know, so he got me on that one. But yeah, funny fellow. Great sense of humor.
You've been commuting back to the city. You've got your skills.
Yep.
How then... So you wanted to make coffee in your local area and start your own business.
Yep.
In the, in 5 minutes.
Yep.
How, what steps did you take?
Well, so working with Toby's, I'd moved from baristering into management, and then from management into the national trainer's role, which was a coveted position and was something, you know, and then even, I guess, from that spot, I went into blend development and quality control, so I was working with personally with Toby, which was fantastic. Something that I guess I'd always dreamed of, as being able to work with a creative like that in a big business.
I saw him on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Last year.
He's an absolute legend.
Because at the time, I think we follow each other on Instagram. He must get me confused with someone else. And I'm walking past, he's like sitting behind me. I'm like, I know you. Anyway.
He's a legend. Yeah. He's such a... I love him, and he's been really supportive of our business as well, which is just great. But, you know, at the time... I had another conversation with my wife and my business coach, you know, and said, hey, look, I'm just calling you to let you know. I just think at some stage in life, I want to do my own business. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And just to give you a little bit of context, Jem had just had a baby. The baby was, I think, maybe 2 weeks old, like Coco. And this is like, so she was off work and she's like, I'm not gonna work for the next year. No, I'm just going to take some time off. And I'm like, hey. and she goes, all right, okay. You just think maybe soon, like maybe one day. All right, yeah, just one day. And it was very vague. And she goes, well, let me just make a couple of calls. And let's just explore this. And so she got called a couple of people, and she was working for a job agency actually before she went on maternity leave, and they said, oh, look, you know, there's a job with the government that's opened up. We think you'd be a great fit. Essentially, pretty much in the next 2 weeks, she got that job. So she went, oh, well. She goes, well, I guess you're going to start your business now, you know.
Oh, that's amazing.
And and that was that, you know. So we needed an income that was to replace the income that I was on at the time, and the job that she got replaced that and a little bit more, which did mean that I had to become a stay-at-home slash, like with a new baby slash start your own business, which is another story altogether.
Mm. And she's in so while all this is going on, your brother Chris, who's also one of you, well, your only other business partner, Chris and Beth, he's got his own parallel journey in the coffee industry as well.
Yes. Yeah. So he's working, bringing machines into the country, sort of high-end espresso machines. And so we would work together a bit. Toby's was probably the company that he was working for, their biggest client. So I would actually be in contact a fair bit with him down in the city. Mm. And
being in business with families and whole other episode.
you know, that's a series.
So you both ended up essentially buying a roaster.
Yep.
And just started roasting.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just roasted away.
Yeah,
roasted
it was pretty crazy. And there's... Yeah, that's the very short nutshell version. We got our hands on a roaster and we started, and it actually wasn't too bad.
But the whole thing is, it's like the, you know, you're in coffee.
Yep.
John's in coaching. Aaron's in law.
Yep.
I'm in financial planning. The product that we provide, it's almost like hygiene. It has to be. It's expected that it's good.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, and that's why I tell people, don't go and buy a bakery. Go and work for a baker for 2 years and learn how to bake.
Oh, totally.
Because once you start your own business, you're no longer a baker. You're a business owner.
Mm. Yeah.
By the way, I make bread.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
well, it's really something you can measure, isn't it? Like, I roast coffee beans.
Yeah.
And I can test and measure that by people's response immediately.
Yeah. Right? Totally.
Whereas sometimes our response is years later.
Mm. And it's funny, like a lot of people don't know that, you know, starting the business, getting a roaster off, Ben went through cancer a couple of times and still, you know, the worst time in anyone's life to go through that.
Yeah.
The business kept going, you know, so next time you look at a business owner and whinge that they're so successful, it's like, but I almost died giving you this coffee.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, there's so much
personal.
You
need to scratch the surface
costs,
a little bit.
Cost involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why you've got to be passionate about it, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, because there are days and there are months that you go without getting paid and you scrape.
I was thinking this morning, like running your own business, it's like this constant shuffle of money. Oh. It's like I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
And
it's adrenaline, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a rush. But I just keep thinking about that day you went in and said, mate, do you want a lunch break? And I'll teach me. I mean, that's just ingenious, isn't it? Like how many people have the gumption, the courage, the energy to go and do that. Like, it's fantastic.
And like I was saying, like with even talking to my wife about things, like I'm not like the most forward person. So I'm not what you would classify as an extrovert by any stretch of the imagination. So for me to go, like, even just to think, I'm just going to ask this guy if he wants me to.
That's really
work.
Difficult.
I was like,
expecting him to say no.
He's going to look at me like, are you kidding? Like, you think you can do this? I'd do this forever. And you know. So if anyone that is listening can take a bit of courage on just sometimes just putting yourself out there and going, oh, even if I think I'm going to sound like a bit of an idiot sometimes.
Yeah. You know, it's worth the risk.
It is definitely worth it.
And it's always, well, what's the worst they can say, isn't it? Like, no.
Yeah.
And, well, the worst that someone said to me, it's like, how do you go about starting a business? Like, you just got to ask people.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing they can say is not no. It's I'm going to come around to your house and murder you. So that for me is helping me.
Wow, I've never experienced that in coffee. But, you know,
but I mean, so that's actually the worst thing that could actually happen was someone threatened to murder you and actually act on that.
Mm.
So basically,
so saying no is actually not so bad.
Oh yeah, no,
no's a win.
And we say that all the time in the business. Even now, you go, well, what's the worst that can happen with this? You know, you have a go, right? Mm. And with like expansion and things, it could be really scary. And you measure it, and you do all the things that you try to do your due diligence on. But at the end of the day, you got to sit down and go, well, what's the worst that can happen? Mm. Like, we're having a go.
Tell us, how do we get in touch with Glee Coffee? How do we get your goodness into our mouth?
Well, always online. Yeah. We've got an online store. Yeah, we do subscriptions. So if you want to take the guesswork out of making a decision on coffee, we can make that for you and just send you some lovely different beans in the mail.
Perfect.
Fortnightly, I think, is the normal option.
I should do that.
You should.
Because I've got this little thing now.
Yeah. You should get
I
a little.
I want one of those things.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Mm.
Yeah. And Instagram at Glee Coffee Roasters.
Roasters, yeah. All one word. Yeah. And, you know, if you want to find out about us, there is plenty of info on the net, you know, regarding Glee Coffee.
Yeah.
There's some dancing and videos and all sorts of things.
I know for me, the absolute goal for anyone listening who wants to turn their passion into cashin is to research, take action, get a mentor. Like you, maybe Toby for a season in your life. Yep. And at different seasons, we've got different mentors.
Yeah.
Read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, it's probably 20 years old, but it is absolute gold standard for changing your mindset. Mm. So, yeah, I just encourage anyone because Ben's just done that. I've done that. John's done that. At some point, we've had a passion and we've taken action.
Yeah.
And we're here now.
Yeah, I think it's
overweight
surrounding
and
yourself. It's surrounding yourself, isn't it, with the right people that always are telling you, yeah, you can do this.
Mm. Like, and that can be hard to find, you know. Mm. Yeah, you do. You definitely need to find those people in your life that will encourage you because there's always people that will say, give you reasons why you shouldn't do stuff, right?
Totally.
They're easy to find, unfortunately. Mm. And even with business mentoring, it is quite difficult as a business owner to go, well, who can I talk to sometimes? Who is ahead of me on the journey? But, you know, we live in an age where I listen to a fair few podcasts on business and on creativity and I get a lot from that.
Mm.
You know?
Mm. All right, Ben, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
And
thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
I'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Get Up Approach Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.